Well, good afternoon, everyone. I'm glad to see kind of a full house here on such a nice afternoon that you're willing to stay inside without any windows on such a beautiful day. I'll give you all credit for that. My name is Herman Fouché. I go by Rusty. That's grew up with the name, so that's what I go by. I'm going to talk today about a survey and included in that some blood serum measurements that we did in Anniston, Alabama, a community that has a history of PCB contamination. Before I get into that, I just want to acknowledge my co-authors, Paul Wolf, who was the field manager for the data collection for the survey that I'm going to talk about, and Randy Devereaux, who at the time was a graduate student who helped with the data and the analyses. And I have no financial disclosure to disclose, or relationship to disclose. So my goals for the presentation today are to present to you kind of a description of the perceptions of contamination in the community, to then talk about what people perceive as their ratings of exposure to PCB contamination, not what your actual level is, but just kind of on a 1 to 10 rating scale, how much exposure have you had. And then looking at the actual blood measures for those participants from which we were able to draw blood and look at their levels and compare those with demographic characteristics and their perceived levels of exposure. As a bit of background here, just to give you a location of the community, Anniston is located kind of in the northeastern part of Alabama, as you can see indicated by the arrow there. And then the map to, next to it shows you the layout of the city. Just for information, the plant in which PCBs were produced in Anniston, that was at first done by Monsanto, which is now Solucia, is kind of on the southwestern side of town, just below where you see kind of the West End Cobb Town, right about in that location there in the community. And so, although you may not be able to see it quite well in the back, there's a couple of streams that flow away from the plant, and then the topography of the city, there's a hill there, and things kind of run downhill from there. Just to give you a little bit about the characteristics, about 25,000 people or so in the city, divided evenly between African Americans and whites, and about 25%, a little bit less than that, are in poverty status. A couple of photographs that I happened to come across just to show you the town, the town hall, and then the view from the hillside that's kind of up above the plant that I had just mentioned. Talking about the PCB production just for a minute, PCBs were produced for about 40 years in the community, mostly related to electrical insulation manufacturing. The water runoff from the plant was one source of contamination. The other source of contamination was soil, in that the waste, the PCB waste, had been dumped in a landfill, which the land later was then used in around people's homes. And so they, some people not near the streams had their neighborhoods contaminated just because of the backfill. As a consequence of all of this, there's been much litigation, several lawsuits, tens of millions of dollars have been paid out to the community across various litigation that has been out there. And there has even recently, maybe even as recently as last year, there was one. I don't think it was successful, but these things are still going on right there. In addition to the EPA has done a substantial remediation effort in removing contaminated soil from houses in addition. Won't spend a lot of time about this. In 2002, the EPA summarized some of the potential suspected health effects of PCBs that you can see listed there, the probable carcinogen, and others listed there. Of course, folks in the community are very concerned about that, and especially those types of conditions. So to get to the study specifically, what I'm going to report on is a representative survey of 1,110 people, adults within Anniston. We did a random selection of households, a random selection of adults within the household, and then interviewed that person. Of the 1,110, as you can see there, that 767 also agreed to come and have a laboratory visit where they were assessed for physical measurements. We did height and weight. We also took blood from there where we measured PCBs, lipids, fasting glucose, and other things to get a whole set of biomarkers from people, blood pressure included. As you can see there, kind of the sample characteristics, about evenly split between males and females, same thing with race, marital status, and employment, as you can see there. And then again, a little bit more sample characteristics, 40% have attended college. Age-wise, we probably skewed ourselves a little bit older than the population. And then the income, about 35% were under 20,000, kind of right in line about with what you expect from the poverty status levels. So getting into the perceptions of exposure. First thing that we asked people related to this, along with several other health-related questions on the survey, was rather lengthy. I think we ended up with maybe 250 questions or something on the survey. Anyway, almost everyone was aware that there was PCB contamination in the community, and of them, as you can see, that a good number of people have had their blood measured in the past, usually related to one of the cases that had gone through, and then about a quarter of people have had the soil around their houses measured. Almost everyone was aware of litigation, and half the sample was involved in the litigation. So we had quite a knowledgeable sample out of the community. People do seem to know, you know, what's going on and have had some good involvement in that. We asked people to rate the contamination on a 1 to 10 scale from very mild to very severe, you know, rating what their perception of the contamination is. And as you can see here in the red, we have levels for their neighborhood, in the yellow, levels for the city in general. And as you can see, the largest numbers rated the contamination in their neighborhood and in the city as a 10, the highest on the scale, 24% in their neighborhood and 45% in the city. We asked about their concern over the contamination. As you can see here, kind of a bimodal distribution of how worried people are. About a third of the people are extremely worried, but then there's another group, just not quite 20%, that are not really worried about the contamination at all. Some people kind of scares, and other people, they're not quite so concerned about that. Further, we asked about perceptions of their own personal exposure to PCB. As you can see in the pie chart on the left, we asked if they personally believe that they've been exposed. Two-thirds of people just about thought that they were. 20% thought that they did not, and then a group of people did not know. Of those who thought that they were exposed, we asked them, how much exposure have you had? And similar to the previous graph on exposure in the neighborhood and in the city, people tend to skew on the high side of that. 33% said that they had very high exposure levels. And then just a couple of different demographic differences within those, where females tended to rate their exposure and their the rate of exposure and amount of exposure greater than males, African Americans also more so than whites. And in addition, West Anniston residents, those people who live closer to the plant, rated their personal exposure as higher than people who live farther away from the plant. So just kind of in summary for this first part here, awareness in the community is very high. It's not surprising. Anniston is almost identified by the fact that they have had this exposure. That the exposure has really caused people to think that it is severe, and it is severe. So I would say they're accurate in that. And then in addition to that, almost everybody thought that they had had some exposure. A large group did, two-thirds of people did. So when we've now gone and then actually looked at the exposure levels on the 767 people that we were able to come across, we were able to measure 35 PCB congeners, and then we have the sum of those weights as measured by the CDC. And you can see the quartiles listed there. The numbers themselves may not be very informative, but the rate is much higher than what has been found in the NHANES, for example. Our kind of average levels found in Anniston were about at the 95th percentile across the country. So people in our sample did have, you know, high levels of PCBs in general. So for the analysis there, what I did is I did a log transformation of the values. The distribution tends to be kind of skewed, so the log transformation gives a normal distribution to the values. Looked at kind of demographic differences between exposure perceptions, and then for those ones that were significant, looked at the prediction of actual levels based upon those factors. Here are presented some significant correlations where you can see here that age was positively associated with that. Older people tended to have higher levels. Education was negatively associated, higher levels associated with lower levels of education. People who lived in Anniston longer had higher levels. And then interestingly, people who gave themselves higher ratings of exposure and those that have had greater health effects from exposure also had associated with higher levels of PCBs. If you look at a couple more demographics, the place of residence and race, and then some of the other differences where we're going to look at differences in the mean values of the PCB exposure. And so as you can see, personally, people who believe they've been personally exposed, those who believe that they have had negative health effects, those who have had their blood serum measured in the past, those who have been involved in litigation, all of those people have had higher levels of PCB values in their blood compared to those that had not gone through all of those. And then as you can see for the place of residence, people living in West Anniston had higher levels of PCBs in their blood, those that live closer to the plant. And then in addition, African Americans had much higher levels than whites within that community. This is also not surprising given that the distribution of the population tends to be concentrated African Americans on the west side more so than whites who tend to live more so on the east side of town. So in putting all of those together into a regression, looking at the relationship between those and exposure, as you can see here, I only put the two that remain significant. Age and race were the only two factors that remain significant, controlling for all of those other ones. So again, even beyond that, that older people still had significantly more PCB exposure, African Americans still had significantly more PCB exposure. I just added kind of in the dashed line the exposure rating, kind of looking at how accurate are people's perceptions of their exposure. Do people who think they're more exposed, were they actually more exposed? Not quite significant, but definitely trending in that right direction, in that those people did seem to be more aware of their exposure than folks who had not thought that they were exposed, if I said that right. So kind of in summary here, the higher PCB values were associated demographically with people who had lower education levels, those who were older, had lived in Anniston for a longer time, African Americans living in West Anniston who had been involved in litigation and had their previous blood serum levels measured. All of that tended to result in higher PCB levels. In addition to that, if you had some perceived higher levels were associated with greater perceived exposure and ratings of those that exposure, that you think that you've had negative health effects, and then the ratings of how bad that health effects are, were all significantly associated with the PCB levels. However, again, after everything, it turned out that age and race were the most predictive of the blood serum levels. And so just in summary there, that this finding may actually be kind of a nice confirmation of what would tend to be expected, in that the population that lived closest to the plant tended to be African American, that the production actually stopped in the 70s, so it's been 30 years since things have been produced. There's been remediation, and so people who are younger tend to not quite have the exposure as people who are older. You know, in addition, there's also an accumulation just by age in addition. So this kind of follows the timeline for the production of exposure and then the geographic distribution of how the exposure was spread. And so with that, I just want to give my acknowledgments, funding from the Centers for Disease Control and the Agency for Toxic Substances and Disease Registry, University of Alabama, of course, Jacksonville State University, and the people of Anniston. And so with that, I just have a couple minutes. If anybody has a question, I'd give it my best shot.
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Yes, we did look at possible exposure through work, PCBs and other fertilizers if they were involved industrially. I did look at that, and at least in this analysis, that did not turn out to be a significant predictor. Yes. Yeah, there's been two related to the project that I'm talking about here. She's asking, have there been other results from this? And a couple of things that they have found is there has been an association between diabetes and PCB exposure, in that diabetes seemed to have an earlier onset among people who had higher levels of PCBs. Yes, still type 2. In the community, that's kind of hard because they also tend to have other risk factors for diabetes. And then there was a paper just recently published that found an association between hypertension and PCB exposure in this population from this same study. Yeah. Yes?
Just real quick, the original first set of percentages, was that based on the higher sample size or the smaller
percentage? Oh, I'm sorry. Those exposure questions were based upon the larger sample size. Yes? Yeah, the question for that read that the context that we gave it in was that some people feel that Anniston has high levels of PCBs, other people do not feel that way. You know, how would you rate the contamination in PCB in Anniston from very mild to very severe? Or if there's the same thing with health effects, some people say there are health effects, some people say there are not. How would you rate those? So we tried to provide a little context, but we did not say there's this actual amount of contamination, or we didn't give them any information about the conditions with which it's associated. Yeah.
The association that you found between race and PCB levels in the serum,
yeah,
was explained by geographic location, but it also looked like maybe you had a geographic variable in your model. Did you, or am I?
Yes, we did. We had, in addition to race, we had actually East Anniston and West Anniston as a second measure of location, and that was not significant. That is true. And so my thought on that, my potential for explanation, is that there's maybe been a kind of a disbursement of people from the area where, with the remediation, some folks have moved out of the area. So I think the spread with that is maybe not quite as concentrated as it had been, or as it is right now. Yeah. Sure.
You mentioned there was health reports about health outcomes. I don't know if you actually asked in the survey what people felt for the health outcomes that were having.
Yes, we did. I just did not report those today. It was interesting. Many people attributed allergies, skin problems, respiratory problems. Those tended to be probably kind of the most common things that were attributed. We asked that on an open-ended basis for people who thought they had it. What types of conditions do you have? And some people thought that every problem they had was because of PCBs. They would give you four or five conditions that they had. We also asked people, again, this wasn't reported here, specifically about, has a doctor ever told you you've had, it was a list of maybe 33 health conditions. And so with that, we have, you know, information about specific conditions and associations there, as kind of how we started to look at diabetes, for example, was one of those that's been looked at so far. Okay, last question. Yes. Yes, we did. Yes, we did. They got results of all the biomarkers that they had. And then if they were concerned with anything, or if we identified something, for example, that they had undiagnosed diabetes, which we did find in 24 people, actually, that we would have a physician would call them, and if they needed recommendations for follow-up and stuff, we would give them recommendations. So, all right, very good. Thank you very much.